There you go.
Okay, there we go.
Such a pleasant voice. And Tisha, you're going to keep us on task? Is that what's going on?
Yes, I'm the moderator today.
Okay.
Okay. And everybody, well, half of us have been to nice places and half of us have been here.
Other nice places. Well, how would you characterize our main task for today? We need to, I suppose, talk about what design or directions we want to go towards establishing a design for a study. And I know if there are issues with the readings that we want to talk about. And then there's questions of what kind of measurement instruments we might want to look at. I think that's what I have on my list anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, this is Bob, and I'm going to interject that you don't have to come up actually with a direction for a design at this point.
Okay.
What we were, and I think there's been some translation of things since we first met at US COTS. So that's a direction you could go. You could come up with measurement instruments. You could come up with initial ideas of a design right now. But what we were thinking more along lines of is just what are the kind of broad research question that you would want to address or pursue, and then not actually conduct a study at this time, but maybe interview students, ask students questions related to it, get some information from students to see how they're reasoning about something or thinking about something, and start using that information in the conversations that come up to start honing what this research design might be. But really, the task is of this year is more a literature review moving towards a research design.
Yes.
Right. Okay. You know, just from reading through chapter 13, which is the chapter that Bob was on, I was amazed at the, 28 stages that they went through until they finally got to a research design that, really asking questions that they wanted to. So that's what it made me think of.
Yeah, and even Sharon's paper, when, giving some questions and then talking about them and having them go into developing other questions and then evaluating them. So I could see that it's quite a lengthy process.
Right. And the way Sharon presents it is, the way she presents it at the conference is, I'm kind of just beginning my research. There's still a lot more to do. So
yep.
I feel like that's a lifetime, right?
We did a good job as advisors of convincing her of that. So my bias is towards very open-ended things at the beginning and then seeing what you get from a variety of students and then letting that kind of guide where you might go with more standardized questions or procedures, what have you. So that's my bias, just throwing it out there.
No, that's a good idea, I think. There is a lot of really good work done along these lines already that we can draw on. You know, mm-hmm. Work that Sharon's done, the work that you've done, Beth, so forth.
Well, I have a question. I don't know if this is an appropriate place to start because I'm talking about Sharon. I actually had a very difficult time understanding her article because a lot of what she was trying to measure and when she was talking about convergent, discriminant validity and those kinds of things, I didn't really understand what all of that was. Is there somebody in our group who does have a clear idea of what that means already?
Well, Bob, no doubt does.
Bob has a fair understanding.
No, I mean somebody, not
well,
one of the four of us.
My take on it is that we have fundamental issues with measurement. That is, how do you measure these concepts that we're trying to get at? And with measurement, there's questions of reliability. Can you get the same thing in different questions? And there's issues with validity. Are you in fact getting at what you want to get at? And I think she was very disappointed with her items not cohering more closely. She was, I think, hoping that she would have a very nice unidimensional scale out of this. But, stepping back from it, there are so many different aspects to how people may misunderstand things that it maybe isn't reasonable to expect we're going to find one dimension. And maybe having different questions that don't, in fact, correlate all that well will be the way we will be able to best measure this. So, I sense the frustration on her part with these low reliabilities.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But But I don't see that as a serious problem. You know, Cronbach Alpha is not a great way to measure reliability in, of the sort that we're after, probably. You know, we're after, can you measure a particular concept well? You might be able to do it with one question. The fact that different questions don't correlate that highly doesn't mean they're not good questions. They just mean you're measuring different things.
Okay.
All right. You know, I guess I'm going to question a little bit the process that we're going through here. Is there a main question that we're supposed to be asking? Clearly, we need to spend time developing instruments and talking about the design, but have we settled on a question? Should we be doing that at this stage, at least preliminarily?
And so, excuse me, Bob, because we've talked about this. Is the group going to have one question, or are members of the group going to have different questions potentially?
And I think that's up. This is Bob. It's up to the group.
Okay.
but I would think that there might be at least one overarching theme or question if individuals are doing slightly different things. Or complementary, or, you know, investigating things that are complementary to each other, you would think that there would be some overarching glue that connected those all together. So I think Mike's point is very good, that you got to make sure you know what your question, or even if it's a set of questions, what those are, probably before you, it'd be better to do that and then let that lead you to what you're going to ask, what you're going to do, then the other way around. Last thought is, practicing statisticians, I'd rather have a student come to me with their research design before they collect the data than after they collect the data. And I really don't want to have them come to me and say, I want to run an analysis of variance with these data.
Right.
Right.
You know, that's just the wrong direction for things to go.
So, again... So my understanding of our coherent theme, and again, feel free to contradict me if everybody's not on the same page, is that we're talking about sampling distributions and how that leads to hypothesis testing and inference. Is that too broad?
I was thinking that we were going to focus more, and I may be wrong on this, but I was thinking in terms of thinking about reasoning about hypothesis testing and maybe doing some kind of a check beforehand and see if they have sufficient background in sampling distributions, which we pretty much know they won't based on everything Bob and Beth and Joan have done. But are we going to focus more on the hypothesis testing or more on the sampling distributions?
This is Tisha. I guess when we left USCOTS, I think we were all talking about hypothesis testing, and that's where our interest was. But what I've been getting from all of these readings over the last three conference calls is that, and Bob, you might be able to attest to this too, when you started research in the past on one thing, what you realized is that the students didn't have what they needed to know to do that, and then you kept, I think it was mentioned in the chapter with Joan, that just steps were being taken backwards continually. And I'm wondering if maybe we should revisit some of the conversations we had at the end of USCOTS. I don't know if we all feel comfortable still with the hypothesis testing if we're not confident in their knowledge on sampling distributions, or it's something I'm feeling uncomfortable with now.
And I would even take it one step further. In Beth, Bob, and Joan's article, page 300 at the bottom, they have a nice table of prerequisite knowledge before you can even talk about sampling distribution.
Right, right.
So yeah. In reading through this, I would even ask the first question of, do they understand this stuff? You know, and that's an idea of a research question. Does understanding of these four prerequisites or perhaps more or less correlate with understanding of sampling distribution? Who knows?
That sounds like a good question. All good things here that being said, but, you know, there's an interesting question that I don't think has been tested out.
Yeah, I was going to ask Bob if your group had done that at all.
Nope.
You know, it'll depend on how one measures these things, too, because I think students can fool us pretty well when they learn sort of the routines and the procedures, and they may not have the depth of understanding that we would want them to have, and in fact, we'll limit them as they go beyond the basic homework problems. So I think we're going to have to come back to the how do you measure this level of understanding that, well, maybe we should talk through what kind of level of understanding we mean here.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things we've noted and other researchers in other areas have noted is the incredible inconsistency in students' thinking and reasoning. And they'll show it with one problem that to just be right on, and it won't even look like parroting. It'll look like they understand what's going on. You give them another context that seems just almost straightforwardly isomorphic, and they don't seem to be doing the same thing. And that could be because they don't believe that you would give them the same question twice. you know, and I mean that could be. And we haven't asked students that. So what I'm trying to plant the seed for is how do you, one part of Dale's question was how do you get at their reasoning? And part of the answer, one answer is you try to be clever and present more than one way for them to demonstrate their reasoning. And you try to be clever and anticipate what it would look like when they do and they don't demonstrate the reasoning you're looking for or that should have developed.
Right, you set up traps for them that if they have...
Yeah, it's a little negative connotation, but yeah.
What's diagnostics, I guess, would be better way.
Yeah, I think that's good. Yeah.
But I think also if you have something like something quantitative that's been tested, like the items from artists, that have been tested and validated, and then to do, like, some interviews with students. And so, to get it kind of around that tricking.
Mm-hmm.
But there are definitely ways to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mike, and what you brought up about these prerequisites and do they have that, what I liked about that is it's getting a little more concrete. And if the group is interested in that, you guys could start throwing out ideas of things you would ask students. To see, what is their understanding of this prerequisite knowledge, and there'd be the question of when you ask them, when is it during a course that you're going to ask them about certain things? But I don't know if that's the way you should go. I'm just saying that gets you a little closer to something that the whole group could try to grab onto and start generating some ideas around.
And Michael, were there a set of, you said when you have these four things as a prerequisite, so do you have an idea, or was that you were just saying these four things?
It's the four things in the Beth, Bob, and Jones article.
Okay.
So it is the idea of variability, the idea of a distribution, the normal distribution, and the idea of sampling.
Okay.
It would be really interesting if we said students don't grasp this idea of sampling distributions, and that's because they don't get this concept of sampling, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a nice way to understand where students are really misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm. I don't think this will be the case.
I agree.
But it could be.
I don't think it will either. But it's
still interesting. No, what I was going to say is I had something else in my head that, or it could be if they're missing one part, one of the pieces. So it may not just be one thing that everybody's missing,
right.
but it could be, there's different groups of people missing certain things, and yet just missing a piece or two critical pieces makes them unable to reason fully about sampling distributions.
We've all had this experience, I'm sure, where our students will suddenly say, I get it, that they suddenly one little piece or something clicks into place, and I don't think it's going to be the same thing for everybody. Or people may have, they have partial understanding, and they can do the mechanism and repeat some of the things that they've heard, but they don't have the full understanding, and that's why when you change the problem a little bit, they can't necessarily solve it. But sometimes it's just one little thing that will make the difference.
Yeah. Is Bob here again? Does anybody else have anything they want to throw in? Because
let me throw out.
No, What's going on in the back of my mind as I'm listening to this, I'm looking at this list of four things here, and I'm thinking, all four of those, they do need to know to understand sampling distribution. I'm thinking, how much time do I actually spend on really developing a lot any of these? Because you talk about what a distribution is, but you you sort of explain in the first week or two of class about having a distribution and the center and the spread and the shape. And then I tend to keep moving on assuming that, oh, they've really gotten that. So I think I'm thinking also in terms of how can I spend more time trying to develop these ideas but continue to progress through, let's say, the required course material at a good pace. I don't know if anybody else is thinking of that pragmatic kind of side, but...
Well, I think that's a good point, Michelle. Plus, you know, when you get to sampling distributions, how much time does anyone really spend on those? You know, so if you haven't spent the time on pieces, and then you really can't spend 3 weeks on sampling distributions.
Well, this is a place where the computer simulations can play a big role, where students can work on this in the lab, you know, on their own time. But one has to, you know, the problem is that the people who need it most don't necessarily know they need it. You know, the diagnostic, again, is important here.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Somebody's got, I hear music in the background.
Yeah.
And my children have been behaving so far.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like dogs barking, so.
The music
I fed them before the call.
Oh, the music is
back. Would you mind repeating yourself, Dale? Because I couldn't hear you what you were just saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was saying that one could use a computer simulation of the sort that Bob has or other things on the Internet for students to work on this on their own time so that one wouldn't necessarily have to go through everything in class, to more some students, while other students need the help. But I was musing on the problem that often the students who need that repetition or review the most don't know it, and that if we had some way, again, of having good diagnostics so that we would be able to identify who needs what and give more focus than experience and practice and so forth for those students without boring the other people who already got it. You know, how many times do you have to repeat something that you already understand?
Mm-hmm. And it might not be that they don't know it. I mean, it might be that, but it might also be that they don't know that they don't know it.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and so that's where having the right kinds of questions that one can probe that level of understanding, you know, that goes deeper, that goes beyond just the mechanisms, is important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the things that, Bob did, or some of these questions, I think, do get at that.
And Michael, did you have something you were to say?
I think this is a great discussion, and I'm happy to go this route. It seems to make sense. I just wanted to go back to Michelle, actually. There was one thing we talked about at IASE as a possible idea to work on as well. Someone had presented, I forget it was it Glenda Francis? I think she had presented on of her work about the order that you present examples versus theory in. And she said that often we present theory and then do an example, but she found that it was more effective in sampling distributions to present an example, have them go through the applet or whatever, then develop the theory.
And a constructivist approach would say, right on.
Yeah.
And she had actually done testing before, and she gave the students a test before, and then one class did this exercise first, and one class had the theory first, and then they did the test again, and then she switched, and one class had the theory, and one class had the simulation, and then she tested again, and she found that the ones who had the simulation before the theory did better. Is that right, Michael?
That's my recollection of it.
Okay.
Cool. And I was going to comment on Michelle.
Yeah, we thought that was an interesting. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, I think that's a very interesting approach, and would be worth replication, or some extension. And Michelle, what you were saying, if I remember, I'm going to try to recap it. You were questioning how much time do I really spend on each of these topics, and when you were talking, I was going, so you might think about changing how you teach or what you teach or something along that line, and that could be part of what this group does. But I was going to say, you know, it'd be interesting first, though, to go talk to your students and find out what they actually understand on each of these topics, given your current approach, or given each of our current approaches, if we ask some of the same questions of our students, and just, you know, 3, 4, or 5 of our students, then we'd have a pretty good set of data, 20 to 30 students probably.
That goes, Bob, with what we kind of have as a vision.
Yeah. So what would we find out, and then start thinking about what do we do in each of our classes, what we're seeing and what students say, and does that lead to some ideas of, you know, would the group move towards, let's all try to teach in a certain way or 2 or 3 different ways, and then see what the outcomes are. So that was just kind of in the back of my head as I was listening to Michelle's thinking there.
I have a question for Tisha.
Yes.
Does this get at the question that you originally posed, some of this discussion?
I don't think directly, no, but I'm honestly feeling much more comfortable with this than I am that original question at US Cuts.
Okay, but I was talking about, like, your original question.
Oh, today?
Of that, yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, good.
And then
so you mean by going backwards, going rather than starting at hypothesis testing, going back and looking at some of these other concepts earlier on.
Right.
Is that what
right.
you meant?
Yes.
Okay.
I was looking back at Tisha's notes from last time, and I looked at the readings that we had assigned ourselves, none of which I read.
Admittedly, none of which I read.
Let me put that in the minutes, Bob.
Well, I have read the chapter 12 and chapter 13 before, having read a good bit of them.
The ones you wrote don't count.
But the one.
And you supervise Sharon, so you kind of should know what's written
so
in that
there's
one.
So there's just one. It's the Hubbard and Bayari, if I'm saying the last names right. And that's piqued my interest in light of this of the conversation so far. And I'm talking way too much as an advisor during this one, but I guess I just have some things in my head, so you guys are wonderful being tolerant of me this time.
Do you have
around.
Duct tape by you, Bob?
What's that?
Duct tape by you?
Duct tape? No, I don't. I never carry it because I never want to be hushed. But that thing about evidence, p-values versus errors, alpha levels, is of interest to me, and I think one of the things that confusion stems from is not understanding a sample as an entity,
mm-hmm.
and an entity that can have characteristics that you can then do a distribution of, like a mean mm-hmm. or a standard deviation or whatever characteristic, proportion, so and so on. And just to throw out there that that ties into distribution. Do students think distributionally, or do they think in terms of very individualistic, individual values, individual people, clusters of things, but not the whole group, and so on? Or can they think of the sample as a distribution, as an entity that has its own characteristics, and can imagine many samples that can be compared one to another, and so on? Just to throw that out there, that might, one of the precursors being distributional thinking, might have some ties to looking at that student's understanding of distribution. Does that have any connections to confusions of p-values versus alpha levels?
Related to that, I don't know if anybody else has had this experience, but I find that my students will sometimes, if I ask a standard central limit theorem question, what's the probability that a randomly selected student would be between whatever and whatever, and what's the probability that the average of,
yeah.
you know, how many ever students would be within there, and then you ask them to explain why the variability is different. A lot of times I find the students say, because in the first one, meaning the one that's assuming normality and where n is equal to 1, in the first one, you had everybody in your sample. And it's, so I think that that's kind of a misunderstanding, but I don't know if that it relates as a precursor or if that's still in the sampling distribution part. But I don't know that they understand. I think that's a misconception of sampling. I think I must have just been talking in Martian.
No, I think that falls nicely into one way that we can assess whether they understand sampling. Right. I mean, if we're talking about these precursors or prerequisites to sampling distributions, I mean, that it sounds like that gets at them missing one of the prerequisites.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it might be so.
Is everybody pretty comfortable with the idea of looking at what Michael's suggestion of looking at some of the precursors and seeing how they relate to sampling distributions, and then maybe an extension eventually seeing how they would relate to hypothesis testing? Is that kind of the direction that I feel like we're going?
My read of what we're supposed to do, and I think if I'm understanding Bob and Jackie correctly, I think what we would do next is say, hey, that's a great idea. Let's read more about it.
Right.
And understand, you know, I'm sure we won't find any better definitions than Bob's and his co-authors about, you know, the prerequisites for sample distributions, but I don't know what else is out there. I don't know if anybody else has tried to address that. I don't know, Bob, if you know, but I don't have any knowledge about that. I mean, I was reading through what our task was for the next 6 months, and it said, do more reading and write a literature review.
Yep.
Is kind of what our task is.
Well, plus add in that idea of interviewing some of your students to find out, you know, which of these parts are they not understanding.
Right.
Right, start to get a feel for that.
Okay.
I just had another thought cross my mind. This is a good thing. When we were all together in Ohio, one of the things that we were talking about, even when we focused on hypothesis testing, was that we wanted to get at what our students really know and not just whether they can go through steps 1 through 5 or whatever we might call it in our classes. And I think we're doing this. It's asking them to explain themselves and things instead of just going through a process. So I guess in a way we are getting at something that we started with.
Mm-hmm. I agree. We talked about you, by the way, Tisha, at the satellite conference, because they were talking about hypothesis understanding and trying to get whether they really get the conceptual understanding. And we talked about your example of, I can't remember, something about Lyme disease.
Yes.
But how they'd gone through the whole process, and then you said, you know, well, what would you do if you had to make a decision on such and such? And they just completely reverted back to whatever their prior knowledge was.
Right.
So we shared that with everybody because somebody else was talking about something similar.
And, again, I think that's just an example where they're not really thinking through the process and what it means. It's just a procedure they go through and get the answer right on the test.
I think it's a great example also because it's just blatantly against what they just said.
Uh-huh.
It's not like a subtle misunderstanding.
Right.
So
pretty blatant.
Go ahead.
Now, I was just going to ask, for when Michael said, do you happen to know if what else is available out there, if we were going in that direction to some precursors, do you have any suggestions of particular things to read or look at? Or, I mean, we could look at your all the references at the end of the two chapters, but do you have anything in particular?
No, I think, I'm not saying there's nothing else out there, but ours is the only list that I know of that nature. But I think you'll see it in... But you can get it reading between the lines and things, like the Thompson-Saldana or Saldana-Thompson, whichever way the authorship goes. You'll see distributional thinking, you know, kind of referred to there and so on. Distributional thinking. So it depends on where you want to go, but there's more things out there, for say, on distributional thinking. Art from the Netherlands did a dissertation on it. He worked under Gravmeier, is that right? No. Yes. Gravmeier, and Gravmeier is published with Paul Cobb and a variety of other kind of constructivist-oriented people. And they're more in the mathematics education area. So there's some things in math ed publications that probably are relevant to anything you guys would do.
Okay. And what about in the artist sections, is there, I can't remember on the scale test, is there anything, are there any of the scale tests that are particularly on distributions?
There's one.
There's center and dispersion, and I can't remember all of them.
Well, there's the thing that comes closest, but it's just a component of it, is one that pretty much is on data representation. So you're talking about graphs and interpreting graphs. But doesn't necessarily get at distributional thinking per se. There's another person from the SRTL forums, Katie Makar. I think it's M-A-K, and then it's either double A-R or single A-R, but M-A-K-A-R. She's currently at she's currently in Australia in Brisbane, and it's University of Queensland, I think. And she's done interesting things about teachers' understanding about of distributions and distributional thinking. And she's used some. Oh, there's the dogs. She's used some things. That Cliff Knold and some items that Cliff Knold and Joan Garfield originally kind of developed and pioneered. So I think it'd be interesting to go if you're going this route. If distributional thinking is one thing that you could look at that. Variability would be another topic. And there's some stuff out there. But Michael Shaughnessy points out in that article we all read that there's a lot about out there about students thinking, reasoning, understanding of the mean. And there's starting to be more on other concepts and topics and statistics, but there's still not a whole lot out there. So in the stat ed research, I think that's what you're going to find.
Sorry about my children.
Just, grab your gun and, no. And,
hey.
And, we put a bark collar on my dog and that still doesn't stop her. but we can also go far afield from, it'd be interesting, you guys should go look and see what you can find. Go to Google Scholar and search and wherever else, see what you can find.
Okay.
Somewhat related issue might be, as we're talking with students, and maybe try to keep note of questions or things that one can do that are particularly diagnostic. It'd be nice if we could find some key questions or exercises that would, in fact, help us be able to identify weaknesses in understanding on any of these primitives.
Mm-hmm. I tried out, I don't know if any of you are familiar with them, the SOCR, the Statistical Online Computational Resource from UCLA.
Oh, SOCR,
yeah. I saw it at USCOTS, and they have an applet on sampling distributions, which is really neat, that I tried out in my summer school class last week, it shows you a population, and then it actually draws one sample. You see the sample, then you see a graph, histogram of the sample. You see the mean fall on a histogram of sample means, and you can do this for individual samples, or you can take 5 at a time, or you can do 1,000 or 10,000. And it's really quick and easy. And so what I tried doing in class was have the students play around with that and then would just put up a new distribution and say, let's try to predict what one sample would look like. And then after, okay, if you took the mean of 5 or 30 or 1,000 samples, what do you think it's going to look like? And I thought it was a great tool. So I don't know if anybody else has tried it. But
That sounds very good. Yeah, I think that idea of having people anticipate what things are going to look like, that's a way of getting at a deeper understanding. And Bob, I think you had some of those, in the best chance and your article.
Yep.
Well, that's where I got the idea.
Well, how well did that work, Bob? Did you do any, do you have summary data on how well that worked?
That approach?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've got summary data. If you go back to the 1999 article in the Journal of Statistics Education, we give you some data because we go through a sequence of three things that we, kind of the development there. And then this chapter that you read, the chapter 13 chapter, is other directions we went that we kind of springboarded off from that earlier research. I'll just tell you honestly where we're at, where Joan and I are at, is with a kind of a two classroom session approach to the activities we have them do.
I can't win.
We could get more students seeming to demonstrate better understanding on a variety of questions, but definitely not all students. And definitely a noticeable percent of students, 30 to 40%, still not either showing good reasoning or consistent reasoning. And so where we've moved to, and then we've tried a variety of things, and that just seems to be a stubborn thing. We can get 60 to 70% pretty good, but still 30 to 40% not. And what we've moved towards is, you know what, I think this is such a foreign and it's a foreign way of thinking to these students. They just don't have an experiential base to hang this thinking on, that you got to start on day one. You have to keep revisiting and revisiting sampling distribution throughout the whole course. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that you use the term sampling distribution at the beginning, but you are having students draw samples from some type of population, and they're looking at a distribution of something, a proportion or a mean or some summary statistic, and they're just starting to look at it and discuss it and maybe make some decisions with it, and you move more and more towards a formal treatment of inference, actually, through simulation. And that's kind of been our approach that we're testing out now.
When you say like 30, 40% have trouble getting it, what kind of measures are you using for that, just standard?
Well, the graphic items that I basically developed, and then Joan and Beth helped me, you know, tweak in that, where we present a picture of a population, and then there's four other graphs or five other graphs that are possible distributions of 500 sample means, that type of thing, but also specific multiple-choice questions asking to see if they can even repeat parts of the central limit theorem, or their thinking is consistent with it. Is their thinking consistent with the idea that a larger sample is going to produce result in smaller variance among a sample statistic than a smaller size sample? So it's based on those types of things, those types of questions that we have outlined in that chapter. Did we all stop thinking?
No, I was trying to figure
no,
out.
No, I'm thinking. That's
okay. Well, I thought that was the situation.
I was trying to figure out if we figured out what the music was.
Is it Ready Talk?
It could be.
It cuts out.
Maybe when we pause talking, it gives us a musical interlude. Well, it sounds to me like we're to get back to the idea of what direction do we want to go in. Is there and as the semester for each of us is getting ready to start, at least
right.
for me, should we start looking at, well, if we want to start looking at, if we want to focus on some of these prerequisite ideas like variability or distributional thinking, of some of the things that we could ask students in class or the questions that we could give them, even starting now, just to start get a feel for it. How many of us are teaching statistics in the fall?
Bob is.
Tisha is.
Michael started yesterday.
So did Tisha.
I don't start for a few weeks.
Because you're on that archaic quarter system.
Yeah, and actually almost all the schools in Ohio changed the semester system when OSU said it was going to, and we still haven't.
Bob, I wonder if is your test of those ones with the distributions, is that available? I mean, I could sort of mimic what you've done here, but I think it might be nice if we had some, something that we all used, or at least something that I would use that I could relate to what you've done.
Well, again, I'm just going to encourage you that I'll just say that, yeah, I mean, we authored all of these things that are in that chapter, and therefore I have all of it in Word documents.
Yeah.
And there's even more of these graphic items.
Yeah, I like
those. There's more than just the two that are there. There's probably at least a half dozen or more that we have of variety.
I like those, if you don't mind,
yeah.
If other people would like them. That would
no.
Be useful, I think.
But again, to say, but why don't, what Michael was proposing, I thought before, was let's dig deeper into literature in these areas.
Well, I'm thinking of talking with students, though, too. It might be interesting to pose some of these problems and then have them talk it through. You know, how do they make the decision of which of these choices would be the right one? And that could be, I think, diagnostic to see which features they attend to.
That's true.
This is Tisha. I'm wondering if maybe before we start to think about what questions to ask students and things like that, and I'm just throwing this out there, if we want to dig deeper, like Michael suggested, and then after a more thorough literature review, we might have more insight as to what sort of questions we'd want to interview students based on.
Well, we could do both. Yeah, we can do this. You know, there are plenty of students who don't understand things.
Yeah, but you've got the whole term ahead of you at the moment. And if you're going to ask them about sampling distributions, I bet you wouldn't do that until towards the end of the semester.
Right.
Unless you're Alan Rothman, right?
Unless you're
on day one.
Well, I guess, we're doing the same thing in our intro course starting on day one, but it would, I think the nature of the questioning would be different on day one than it would be
right.
In week 10 or, you know, or so.
Right.
So, I mean, because they, if you ask it in technical terms, I think you get a bunch of blank stares from most of them, I hope.
Mm-hmm. But think of the improvement that would then show.
that we can train our little parrots to say certain words or understand certain words. But I was going to say that, so Tish, you know, you re-echoed that idea. And if you guys decide to go in the direction of let's dig a little deeper into some of these, there was an SRTL forum on variability. And so last year, I think in the fall and in the spring, Surge, Statistical Education Research Journal, published some of the papers that came out of that forum that was 2 years ago. No, that was 4 years ago, excuse me. So they published that. So that was... So I think Surge has some articles on variability, and I have an article in Surge dealing with students' understanding of standard deviation. That might give you some references to go for, but you could look there. What was published last year in Surge were articles on distributional thinking.
Okay.
So that would be a place you could go to get at those two, what's kind of current on those two topics, variability and distribution. Go look at past issues of Surge.
Do you want to divide them up a little bit? Have maybe two of us head towards variability and two towards distributional thinking?
Well, and then
there's
a bit out there on sampling, too. And the person, one person that comes to mind is Jane Watson, who's from Tasmania, from Australia, from Tasmania. And she's done a lot with grade school and high school students' understanding of samples and sampling. And there's probably other people out there worth reading. And Mike Shaughnessy's work with Chris Redding and what he's doing currently too gets at sampling and samples and sampling also.
So just so I'm clear on everything, part of our goal with this literature review, or at least a more extensive literature review, is to still come up with a list, I guess, of prerequisite knowledge. Is that still our goal? About sampling distributions.
Yeah, I think that's a good goal. I think we have to have a good understanding ourselves of what the, you know, underlying the primitives of the column are.
Okay, so we start with Beth and Bob's and Joan's list on those four items and then just see if anything else could be added to it or something like that.
I would also say I think we should pay attention to if we find any instruments to measure them as well.
Perfect.
I think that's everybody agreeing with you.
We're all singing in the background of the song, yeah.
And then Michelle raised the question of should you divide and conquer? And I guess the opposite of that is now you all go out and see what you can find.
Well, do you want to set something up where we take a look and then through an email in the next, you know, maybe 2-3 days, send off some, you know, see what we find and send around some suggestions and then just kind of come to consensus that way once we've looked around, see is there something that we think we should all read and otherwise, you know, each sort of do like we did the second call where we read different things and then got together and talked about them and thought, oh, this one really everybody should read. What do you think? Would you rather, should we?
Yeah, maybe each do some reading.
My dogs think everything you say is wonderful.
Oh, yeah. If we each do some reading on our own and see what we come up with, I think maybe starting with the broader net and then seeing what we find and decide then what we all should read.
Well, I know, personally, I'd definitely like to look into some of the articles on variability, because that's an area where I feel like people develop a kind of intuitive feel for center from a very young age and not very little sense of variability. So I would like to read on some of that. So I volunteer to head at least go that direction for the next month.
And that works well because I'm interested in distributional thinking, so I can cover that. I'm not saying that no one else should look at it, but if Michelle decides to go one way, I'll volunteer to go another for sure.
How about Michael and Dale? Do you have any preferences?
Well, I'm actually happy to look around and see whether there are other items that we would want to include in the list as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing I might do is go back and look at some of the intro statistics textbooks and just say, okay, what order are they following in terms of how they present the material and mm-hmm. what are they assuming people understand before we get to sampling distributions?
Okay.
Yeah. I could look maybe a bit at sampling. I think sometimes people have not a very good understanding of sampling, random sampling.
Okay. And I was just going to throw out, just like you guys did before, you didn't just find stat ed research type of articles, but you also found articles debating, you know, the thing like p-values versus alpha levels. There might be, you know, people writing about sampling, variability and distribution from a statistical context or point of view that would be relevant that I'm not aware of, for sure.
So look beyond static.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And with psychology, math ed, you know, it's like being many places to look.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not all.
And Bob, can you tell her, I think you all were going to have a meeting to discuss at some point the possibility of a website that we could gather all of the information to. Has anything come up about that?
Yeah, let me speak to that. Justin, who's the kind of website programmer at for Cause, he went and looked at Google Docs, mm-hmm. and he set up a site where you could create Google Docs. And then I started looking at it, but what I found out, you know, I'm a Mac user, and that's what I had. I had my Mac at home. So here's my long story. Sorry about this. And so it doesn't work with Safari. There's certain functions that don't work. So you have to use Explorer or is it Foxfire?
Firefox.
I just switched it around. Sorry. And Explorer, they just don't have a good version for the Mac. So I downloaded Firefox, and it kept freezing my Mac over and over again. So what I need to do is go play around with it on the PC, and I think it's a good thing. And what you guys can do is, I think what I have to do is set up with Justin and say, here's the people in the red group. We're going to create a little site within the site that you've got, a little place, kind of like a little forum for us. And then we can create, if you guys like the site, we can create, they're like Word documents. You can create Word documents, spreadsheets, and so on, but you can create a Word document that everybody can edit, and it keeps track of who edited it, and you can edit it in real time. So you don't have to send it around to everybody and have them do their part. You can just go up anytime from wherever you are, as long as you got internet access. And what I was thinking is, when you were first talking about let's go find articles, you could start just creating an alphabetical list of articles as you find them. Or you could organize a document into these areas of sampling, distribution, and variability, for example, and start putting references in those sections, and you would see if somebody's already put one there that you've come across and so on.
And just as related to Google Docs, 2 weeks from yesterday, I am actually taking a two-hour course at Ohio State on using Google Docs. So hopefully I'll get something there that I can share with you all.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, great.
So does that sound like a way you'd want to go?
I think that would be great.
I think it's a great idea.
So there's no dissent, right?
No dissent.
Okay, then I will just look at my schedule for tomorrow, and that's one of the things I will do. As I'll look at it a little more, if I convince myself, yeah, this thing really works slick, then I'll contact Justin and see if we can get it set up for the group, and then hopefully I'll be sending information out to you in an email of how to do this.
Now that would be
great.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So note to self time.
Note to Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Try to do it before our cause wrap.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
I'll do it first thing in the morning.
Because other groups may have had similar discussions.
Mm-hmm.
Does it sound like we have a plan then for the next month?
I think so. Do we want to set up another conference call, or do you want to converse on email of status reports, progress reports, whatever?
Probably
should we go ahead?
Let's go ahead.
I'd just listen to it now.
Is that a time?
I know my schedule, if you guys do.
Yep.
Sure.
And
my evenings are pretty much always free. So. Okay.
So are we looking towards the end of September?
Yeah.
Sounds good. Tuesday doesn't work for me, but other days are pretty open.
Okay. Thursday good?
For me?
What was that again?
Thursdays, is that what you mentioned?
Sure. I mean, it doesn't matter to me, but since Dale said Tuesday wasn't good, I'd rather not. If we can skip Mondays, that's better for me because I'm not on internet on the weekend, so it's better for me to have it later in the week.
Okay.
Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. No, Wednesday, Thursday.
My only limitation would actually probably be too late for Michelle's bedtime anyway. I take my child to class in the evenings on Thursdays, but.
Well, with this 3 o'clock, it's 3 o'clock for me here Central Time is when we started this call. Does the time we started this call work for everybody on a Thursday?
Not the 27th.
Okay.
So this not that,
is that Wednesday.
If we want to do it on the 20th, Thursday the 20th, that's fine. Wednesday's at 3 o'clock. I can't do. I teach.
Yeah, I have on and off again commitment that I'm not sure if it's that week or not. Bill, the other option is to go to October 3rd. Or
October 4th,
I meant. Yeah, I mean, it's 1 week later.
That works for me.
I would have to go at 3:30 instead of 3.
On any Thursday?
On all Thursdays, yes.
Okay.
3:30, what time are you again? Central Mountain?
Central, I'm Central.
You're Central, okay.
It would, so a half hour later than we started today.
Right, if it's okay with everyone.
Works for me.
Mm-hmm.
Works for me. Dale?
Yeah, that sounds fine. I have office hours, so I'll shift. No problem. 3:30 Central, 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 October 4th.
October 4th.
I believe that the... Well, I think Jean, as she said in her email, is trying to figure out what our new call-in. There may be a different call-in number. We may still be using ReadyTalk at that point. We may be on a different system. So whoever the organizer is for that should just, again, contact Jean and find out where we're at Ohio State.
Okay.
I think the organizer should be Tisha.
That's what I think, too.
Michael, moderator. Michelle, recorder. Dale, synthesizer.
Okay.
Say that one more time, Michael. Tisha's organizer.
Tisha's organizer, Dale is synthesizer, Michelle is recorder, and Michael is moderator.
Got it.
For those of us non-rad folks, it's the only role you haven't done yet.
Yep. You're about to recycle after the next one.
Right.
Okay.
Or recycle sounds so used.
Bad. Must be time to hang up.
Oh, thanks. And I'll talk to you tomorrow, Bob.
Yes, you will.
So the last question that still lingers for us, though, is have we thought of a name?
Have you thought of a name, Michael?
I like Abnormally Distributed
is the best I got so far. So
the Abnormally Distributed group?
I think it's good.
I mean, because it also recognizes our time zone variability, so.
I actually thought that's what it was recognizing. What else does it recognize?
Well, it's a comment on normally distributed.
And we're thinking specifically, Michelle, about your mental state.
That's what I was wondering.
Okay, now, Bob, that one was bad.
Yes. Well, my tact. You know my tact is bad.
Unfortunately, I'm not excessively sensitive. So.
Good.
Well, either that or she's absolutely exhausted. So.
No, no. Gail, what do you think of Abnormally Distributed?
Oh, well, I think that would work as well as anything, huh?
Isn't Dale the one that coined it?
I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe. No, that sounds fine, at least. We are in many ways, I guess. So.
It's an internal name, so we don't have to publish under that pen name.
I was thinking from that sounds fine. That's good. Okay, do we have anything else?
No.
So do you want us to officially announce the name instead of the Red Group? We are now the Abnormally Distributed Group. Tomorrow.
This is Bob. Here's what I was. Well, we can inform them that and. If I set up something with Google Docs, then our folder or whatever it is, I'll have them label it as Abnormally Distributed.
Great.
Excellent.
Okay.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Good chatting with everybody.
Okay.
Good luck with the start of the semesters, everyone.
Yes.
Yes, have fun teaching. I'll think of you all while I'm doing
other
work.
It will be done sooner, I think, right?
So, yeah.
So. All right.
All right. We'll talk to you in October then.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you. Please stand.